Come on down to Center Fields on Washington Street in lovely downtown Canton, Mass. Pull up a stool at our uninspired bar and enjoy a weekday lunch where you'll be served half-heartedly by one of our fine young barmaids. Wednesday is best if you want the cute one, but Thursday isn't bad if you fancy them a bit on the skanky side. Try a Centerfield specialty, such as our mediocre hamburgers, our half-assed buffalo chicken sandwich, or a slightly better than average chicken parmigiana sandwich. Proud purveyors of these tasty beverages, flat diet Coke, IBC root beer, it comes in a bottle, coffee. And if you're feeling cheeky, top off your meal with a shot of our signature spirit, Knob Creek Bourbon Whiskey. You won't be disappointed. Well, there's a slight chance you may be disappointed, but come in anyway. For an instant 10% discount on your meal, tell them Murray sent you. Center Fields, in lovely downtown Canton. Come on down. Yeah, so if you get a chance, mosey on down to Center Fields and down to lovely downtown Canton, Mass, and try one of their uninspired dishes.
Actually, I think their chicken parmesan, or parmigiana, is...
In it though,
I love that dish.
Yeah, it's not bad. I've had that sandwich a few times. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So,
all right.
Speaking of lovely young barmaids.
Oh.
I was wondering, outside of writing or whatever, I wonder what Little Miss Alice Little did for a living.
Jesus.
What, you think she was a lovely young barmaid in her day?
Well, number one, she never did write. She wasn't a writer.
She was the subject.
She inspired the story of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, okay.
But actually, she ended up marrying a guy who was quite well off, I think, and she lived a life of relative leisure in some estate somewhere in England.
Good for her.
Yeah, but actually...
managed to work the system.
In a way, yeah.
Right?
I mean, as much as a Victorian woman could in those days.
Right.
I mean, it was either scullery maid or woman of leisure.
Right. Hmm. You like the woman
that
of leisure part.
That lucky guy, huh, Greg? That lucky rich guy.
If only I could go back just before they met.
Yeah.
Steer her away.
Take him out. Challenge him to a duel.
Beat him about the kidneys.
I say, good sir, I challenge you Saturday morning to a duel for your lovely young lady. I don't. That's my impersonation of a Victorian man.
It's not bad.
It's terrible, but gotta give it a go.
She actually didn't have quite a too happy life, though. She lost. She had three sons, and two of them died in World War I. So that was always a blot on her later years.
That is sad.
Yeah, it is.
Poor Alice.
You're mocking
no,
her.
No wonder she looks so sad
yeah,
in that
I know,
picture.
But she knew what was ahead of her. She's only 20 in the picture.
Yeah.
Poor girl. I don't think she had teeth.
Oh, you know what?
That's rough.
No, maybe she just, you know.
Actually, you know, that's a good point. Because, you know, the English, at least, you know, years
convenient.
Ago, were not known for the quality of their teeth. You know, even as...
The English?
Yeah.
Right.
As long ago as, like, say, 30 years ago. I mean, that was quite the... I mean, even now.
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing with Ricky Gervais where he was pissed off because American journalists always asked him about his teeth.
Right.
And he just refused to fix them because it's... To him, it's not a big deal.
And it's a big fuck you, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, what's... And I tend to agree with him. I mean,
yeah.
We've in this country, we've sort of lost the ability to just be natural. Everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be airbrushed. That's why so many young teenage girls have eating disorders and
oh,
all
yeah.
that. Yeah, it's pathetic, in my opinion.
I do agree.
Yeah.
I do agree.
But you go over there and they are funny looking. No, I'm just kidding.
You're awful.
No, I was kidding.
But well, there's plenty of funny looking people in this country.
Oh,
believe
I know.
Me.
Go to Ocean State Job Lot.
Go yeah. anywhere. Go walk down the street. Jesus
job
Christ. Ocean State Slob Lot.
Jesus.
No, it's bad. Absolutely terrible. This is, oh, you guys all saw
the India episode of the Find Sky One program, An Idiot Abroad,
oh,
right?
Oh my God.
I have seen that.
I'll tell you right now, the worst thing about that episode was that fucking guy from America with the giant yellow teeth.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Holy Davram or something. That guy sucked. I hated that guy.
The sort of, he was like assistant to the guru or something.
Yeah. Like the guru seemed like a cool dude.
Oh, yeah.
And well, he looks relatively. Gorgeous. No, but fucking Davra, that guy sucked. Yeah. Oh, I hated him. As soon as he opened his mouth, I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I loved it. It was like, are you Davra? America.
Right.
Davra. Oh, I thought, so where'd you come from?
Right. It's like, get your teeth out of your ears. Fucking listen up.
Now, I was thinking that it must have been hard footage. That episode of the guy who was able to take the walking stick. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, twist up his knob?
Twist up his knob and then do that thing. And then they're like, well, he does yoga.
Yeah, knob yoga.
But
it probably is a special form of yoga.
Yeah, you just, over the years and years and years, you continue to stretch out your knob skin.
So what did he do? Can someone tell our viewers exactly what he did?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're commenting on something that probably people don't know what's...
Barbara, do you not feel comfortable with it?
Well, I was a little perplexed by what I was seeing because...
Do you not understand male anatomy?
I really don't. And that's a whole other topic, but...
They're so confusing.
It's like they're
meat
such
and veg.
Complex creatures. I was a little surprised to see something like that long, that was that soft.
Go on.
Right?
Well, it was like flattened.
It was weird. It didn't look like a normal one. I mean,
because it wasn't. Oh. I don't think.
I've never seen anything like that in my life, I'll tell you that.
So let's explain then for the viewers what this scene was.
All right, so there's this naked yoga guy covered in like white dust or whatever, as they tend to do over there. And basically he stands up, grabs the end of his knob, kind of pulls it out and he's stretching it, and it's like totally flaccid. And he's got his walking stick, which is probably about like an inch in diameter or whatever. So he's stretching his knob out, throws the walking stick down, folds it like around it as if you were like...
Curling hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Curling hair. Good analogy. And basically, and then just starts wrenching it and pulling it, pulling the walking stick down and then rolling it up a little bit more, wrenching it down. And then, as if you were, I don't know, tying a knot or something, twists the walking stick as if you were spinning like, you know, like a helicopter blade or something. Not fast, but twisted it around enough so his knob was twisted. And then he pulls it down and then he steps over it. So the walking stick that was once out in front of his thighs is now behind his thighs, still with his knob wrapped around it tightly, and then starts doing knee bends. Up and down, up and down, and you hear this big crack, and poor little Pilkey's just like, whoa. He's like, what was that? He's like, something just cracked. So something funny. Just cracked. And it's the most disturbing frigging thing. And the poor guy, and I love the fact that he went there to see Elephant Baba,
right.
Who was the guy with the giant melted face. You know, half the side of his face was like all melted down and kind of like the Elephant Man, disfigured. And Carl was fine with that.
I thought that was kind of cool in the sense, not his disfigurement, but I thought it was cool that in his culture, he was able to make something out of that, you know? In other words, like he looked like one of the gods.
Ganesh, right?
Yeah.
The elephant god.
And so he didn't live a life of ridicule. He was actually someone fairly important in that society.
Maybe that's why they have so many gods in Hinduism. To make the freaky people feel better.
Oh,
that's that guy. He's the reincarnation of the snake god, you know, and he's just got no bones or something. I don't know. But yeah, there was some weird cats over there in India.
Yeah, I mean, but that's historically they're known for, or at least their dudes like that are known for doing things that are pretty disgusting to us or inconceivably difficult. Like, remember that dude who thought it was a religious thing or something, you know, really important? He kept his hand raised for however many
like
years.
Like 10 or 12 years.
Oh, yeah.
And it was completely withered and...
And the nails.
Yeah.
Oh, those fingernails were all curling around.
Yeah, but somehow, you know, for the listeners, this guy actually held his arm in the air as if you were raising your hand to answer a question for at least 10 years.
Right.
Continuously, somehow. I don't know how he sleeps, but that it's like, yeah, like that's like their tribute to their gods or whatever. And it was like, you know, it served some purpose. But I love Carl's take on it was, well, that's a convenient excuse, you know, working around the house, you know, he's got the wife there and she's, you know, and she's like, oh, honey, can you help up with the washing? He's like, ah, no, sorry, can't get the arm up, you know,
right.
Like that's he looks at it in a practical modern day sense. Like what use is of that guy
right.
sitting around the house? Like he's useless because he can't use both hands because, oh, well, he's, you know, devoted to the god. But so funny. Fucking show. No. That was.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say this show, An Idiot Abroad on Sky One, that was another of my major topics that I was going to bring up because it's just so fascinating.
It's interesting.
It's a great show. Funny as hell.
The Chinese episode?
Yeah.
Now, China. I always thought I would be an adventurous eater and that it would be hard to find something I wouldn't, you know, try at least once. I would never eat those scorpions. They were on that stick and they looked like scorpions.
Right.
And I thought it was a riot when Carl was looking at the Chinese girl eating the scorpions and he's like, oh, and look at that. She's looking at it. Oh, doesn't that look nice? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's disgusting. What does she do if she sees a spider in the bathtub?
Right. Is it a pest or is it a snack?
Yeah.
Oh, it's freaking great. That's
a good point, though.
I think I would eat the bugs if they were cooked, like probably before that toad thing that they had at the house.
I'd eat the toad before I'd eat the scorpion.
Oh, I don't know. There's not... Ugh.
What's wrong with the toad?
Yeah, well, the way it was cooked, you see it? That was disgusting. It wasn't like sautéed up nice like in a French bistro. It was like a chopped up toad boiled with a bunch of crap and... just slapped on a plate. It was disgusting looking, but whatever.
But isn't it? I mean, doesn't it just go to show that kind of stuff is all based on what culture you're raised in? I mean, if you try and look objectively at some of the food we eat that we think is natural or normal, I mean, I suppose you could make the case that some of that's probably disgusting.
Right.
Lobsters.
Yeah, lobsters is a great example. Yeah,
but a lot of cultures eat lobster and crustaceans.
Yeah, but if you just try and look at it objectively, like,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's a giant red bug, essentially.
If you came from like a mountainous region in like the middle of Asia that had never been to the ocean
right.
and never seen a lobster before, and someone whipped that thing out, you wouldn't think, well, maybe you would, but the first thing you would think of wouldn't be to eat it. You'd probably want to kill it and just run right. away from it. You know what I mean? If they had never been to the ocean, if they'd never had... that type of thing. But yeah, it is part of the culture.
Right.
Like, I find it strange that, I don't think it's like 0%, but Japanese don't eat cheese.
Oh, no?
No, there's like, no, like, think of any, like, you can't, they probably have cheese.
What, like soy cheese?
Maybe.
It's probably
But that's
soy.
Tofu. I mean, tofu might be the closest thing they have to their own cheese. They might have a cheese. And if anybody knows of a Japanese cheese out there, you know, throw up a comment on our Facebook page and tell us about it. But
I'm sure there's a dude in Japan that's made cheese. I mean, once it became known from other cultures. I mean, they have
yeah.
Do they have goats
or animals?
And
I'm sure
they eat yogurt. Do they eat yogurt over there?
I don't know. There's not a lot of dairy in Japanese cuisine.
Hmm. True.
Which is an interesting thing. Because their food is weird, too.
And you wonder if they're lactose intolerant. You know, if they're just...
Yeah.
I think we definitely need to do some research after this.
We're not prepared for this topic.
No, this, yeah, we went way off board. See what Pilkey does? He broadens the mind.
Yes, he does.
He travels abroad for us, and he broadens our own minds.
When
because his isn't getting broadened.
Oh, it's just the funniest thing. But when I was watching it, I was thinking, would I want to travel to those countries the way he's going? Would I be able to do it?
The way he's going, right.
No way.
I don't think so.
I couldn't do it. And then I was thinking to myself, do I really have it in me to go to a place I'm so different and it's so foreign?
Right.
You know, like, you can work your way through some cultures, but when you don't speak a word of the language or recognize anything, or the food scares you,
mm-hmm. it's got to be frightening.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we take it for granted that most of the places we go to, people speak English in some fashion.
Right.
But I'm sure there's places where, or for whatever reason, they think that you need to learn their language, or they're not going to go out of their way.
No, I mean, either some people speak English, or I think like what Barbara said, it's typically, like Western countries, they don't speak English, but the things that they do and eat aren't so foreign to us. Right. Like when I was in Hungary, practically no one spoke English. You know, the people at the hotel did, and that was maybe about it. Mm-hmm. So you're out and about in the town and trying to do stuff, but you could recognize the vegetables. You knew what was beef. You knew what was, it was kind of familiar to you. It was a little bit more rural, like rustic, mm-hmm. you know, like there's be a whole pig's head in the deli, which we wouldn't see in most markets here in the United States, but it's a somewhat of a comfort factor. They have, you know, you can order a coffee, you can, just like things like that make it a little bit more comfortable. But when you go far enough away, it's brutal. I mean, it's so different and so foreign. And I think that's what's amazing about Asia is like, you know, I guess that's why they divide it like the Western world and the Eastern world. I mean, because they are two completely different worlds.
Right.
It's incredible. I would love to go to Asia, but yeah, maybe not like
I could,
poor Carl.
I could handle Japan perhaps. And I think it has something to do, not just the food. I mean, because Japanese eat food that we don't eat. I mean, even the sushi we eat here is westernized. But I think it's because they're, standard of living is similar to ours. So you can go there and you know you can be in a hotel that's going to have certain amenities.
Right.
You know you're going to be safe. You know you'll find someone who can help you if you're in trouble.
Right.
You know, walking along the Great Wall of China there and going into small villages
mm-hmm.
and the standard of living is so low. I don't know if I could handle that.
Yeah, it'd be rough. It'd be rough.
There's something to be said for Western plumbing.
Oh.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, I'm sure it's cultural. You know, like that Indian dude when he was showing Carl the special toilet in that little closet.
Right.
To him, it was a better way of going to the bathroom than our sit down toilets.
Right.
Where they just sort of squat over an open hole.
Yeah.
But he thought it was, you know, that it's much better this way.
Right. No, it's better. No, it's better. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're used to. It's nuts. Funny show, though.
Well, that's why Steve Merchant always says that travel broadens the mind. I suppose if you did go do it, who knows? You might become somewhat acclimatized to that to some extent.
Yeah.
True.
But I think that the key thing about this show is that, you know, if people haven't seen it, it's that he is being deliberately sent to these countries, but he's being deliberately sent to the worst parts of it. You know what I mean? It'd be like, I was telling Ed earlier, it'd be like the equivalent of if someone was sent to the States and they were sent to like a horrible inner city area in Detroit or, you know, an inbred town way out in the mountains in Tennessee or something. You know, it's deliberately sent to the mm-hmm. worst parts of the States as if that's representative of the United States, and it's not.
Right.
And yes, there are parts of India that are horribly poor, but there are, you know, you can go into certain parts and they're probably quite beautiful and clean and whatever.
Yeah.
But for the benefit of that show, he's not being sent to the good parts.
Well, Ricky actually says it right out in the introduction to the show. He says, I want him to be as miserable as possible for my own enjoyment.
Right.
It's like, oh, man. So they're paying for all this stuff to send Carl out there to be miserable for however long he stays. But he makes no bones about it, you know. It's just he wants to see him squirm. Makes him laugh. Kind of mean, but.
But I agree with him.
Yeah.
I could never do what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, one thing I don't like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I hate crowds. I think that would get me if I was in India, and just densely packed with people all in your space.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it's no big deal. They pack 10 people in a room the size of this studio right here.
Right.
And they sleep and things.
Yeah, absolutely. Live there. Yep.
Which I just cannot abide. I need my space.
Right.
And that's probably a luxury of this country with so much available free space, whereas there, they're packed in like sardines.
Well, they have a pretty big country. They just have a shitload more people.
Yes.
It's a density issue.
Right.
Not a geographical issue.
Good point.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for. No, but it's good. I am hoping it comes out on HBO or DVD at least.
So that people over here are going to see it.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Absolutely love it.
All right. So you got anything else on your plate? Getting towards the end of our show.
I know.
Try and pack a couple things more in, maybe.
Well, this one might be a little bit of a long topic, but I don't even know if it's worth going there.
What is it?
I was watching the news the other night, and they were talking about the wind farms in Nantucket. Did you guys hear about these wind farms?
It's kind of boring.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, all right, yeah.
No, go on.
No, I mean, it's just, you know, my whole point is why, I don't understand why people don't want them. Like, I can't get my head around the fact, like, if they're going to be out in the ocean, yeah, you can see them from the shore, but basically, you know, after the whole mess with the BP thing, and then there was that other rig that blew up, like, you know, just shortly after the other one was fixed, all that oil down there. But so basically they're going to build 130 wind turbines over like 28 years, or they have a lease for 28 years on the Nantucket Sound, and they're going to produce enough power to basically supply all the power to most of the Cape and the islands. Okay. It's going to start out at $88,000 a year for like the leasing or whatever it is, and then, you know, go up as they start producing power. But I don't understand it. I mean, if you can create that power to, you save that much electricity from, you know, fossil fuels and everything. I don't know. It's like, oh, I don't want that there because it doesn't look nice. And it's like,
it might
why
look
can't
cool.
But like, why can't Americans get over that? Like, going back to Greg's aesthetic thing, like, you know, the whole thing with when we, you know, everything has to be pristine and beautiful. It's like, look at Europe. I mean, the Danes throw up windmills left, right, and center, you know, and what is their electricity? They got, you know, practically, I mean, I don't want to say it's free, but I bet they pay a lot less than we do, you know. Why do you have that look on your face, Barbara? You don't believe me?
No. I what kind of windmills do they have?
Like these giant turbines. Like
the same ones that they're
wind
trying
turbines, yeah.
Okay.
What did I say, windmills?
I thought you said windmills, and I was thinking
I probably
of the Dutch.
Did.
Okay.
No, but the Danes, like the Dane, because they're surrounded by water in Denmark, so they have these things all over the place. And there's a company in Denmark that is like one of the largest producer of these giant wind turbines in the world. So they're not afraid to do the right thing, even if it's a slight inconvenience on the view across the bay.
Well, who are the people who are opposing it? The people who have water views and they think their views are being disturbed?
Yeah.
Or are there mostly powerful petroleum people who are getting in people's ears?
Well, I'm sure
it's
both. Right. I mean, I'm sure the petroleum lobbyists are getting in there. They're getting their money, you know, spent trying to block it. But the benefit is the people on the shore that have the views probably don't like it, you know. But in 10 years, once they're built,
you're practically
paying nothing for your friggin' electricity or whatever it is, then, you know, you're loving them. So, I don't know. It just pissed me off. I was like, what's the big fucking deal?
It pisses me off, too.
Once again, you're amazed by human greed and stupidity.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I'm just way too naive because people never fail to let me down.
On that topic, though, I think Walter Cronkite, he had come out initially against the windmills. turbines.
Right.
And
then,
they are windmills.
Yeah, they are. They're high-tech windmills.
Let's call them windmills.
And then he actually came around and made a public statement to say, after doing a lot of research, he was in favor of them.
Hmm. Well, good for him.
Yep.
Dead.
Yeah. What good is he now?
Well, that's probably why he was like, you know, I'll fuck with him. Yeah, no, I think we should really get those windmills going.
And make them pink.
And then he's gone. Good night, everybody. Nice. See you in Chicago. Bam, he's off. So, I don't know. But that was my other topic.
Is
it sounded great.
Is that your last topic?
Well, apparently. It's my last topic for tonight.
I think we touched on all of mine.
Two?
No, I'll, do you want me to read exactly what's on
No, but if you have
Greg,
one that's...
Alice, 20 years old.
Damn it.
Box old photos, Havana. World War I equals the Great War.
We didn't talk about that, but...
No, we didn't, but the reason being is I have all this World War I stuff now that is... And every
that's why it's great.
No, because they didn't know World War II was coming.
No.
So they didn't call it World War I. They called it the Great War.
Yes.
So I have a set of... leather-bound books, all these different volumes that's about every battle in the Great War. It's just kind of cool because my great-uncle fought in it. And
it's a funny name.
My great-uncle fought in it?
Yeah.
They called him Frank. But, yeah. You know, he fought in that war over in France. And he collected memorabilia, had memorabilia.
Right.
And... So that was on my list. I was going to talk about that. I guess it's not too fascinating.
Well, yeah.
Talked about, we already kind of talked about this too. How when I first traveled to Europe in the 80s, it was really interesting because the countries were different.
There was Yugoslavia.
Yes.
That's different today.
Yeah. There was East Germany.
Right.
But
Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
But it was everywhere you went, there was a different currency, a different language, and it was fascinating. And now, like at the same time, we were just saying, I don't know, I don't want to go somewhere too different because I think I'd freak out. I'm mm-hmm. too young for that. Now when you go there, it's not that different. Like, they're using the euro.
Is that bad for you, though?
I don't know. It's just not as exciting. Like, you know, you used to know you were in France or know when you were in Germany. Like, even fashion was a little different or... You know, and now it seems, or food. I mean, now the food's all over the place. So that was one topic.
Yeah, no, I do. I like that topic. That's true because, like, once the euro came up and.
Yeah. And the EC, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, they're not in their own borders anymore. You know, go to Dublin, there's a ton of Russian and Polish people.
Right.
The first time I went to Ireland, it was either you were Irish or a tourist. No one lived there except Irish people. Hmm.
Yes, and going to other countries, like when you would have to exchange, going over the border, you're like, I got to go from France to Italy. Well, not that I ever have, but yeah, you'd have to get your passport done, and then you'd have to prepare and get money and stuff. Like, so it was not only a physical movement from one country to another, but it was a mental switch. Like in your head, you're well aware that you're in a different country, but if you just take a train ride and you get out, you hop out of the train, you got your pocket full of euros. That work here, just like they worked in the place that you just came from, things look a little different. People might speak in a different language, but you don't really get that mental switch to, you know, really make you feel like you're in a different place, you know, I think.
Yeah, but here's a question. If there had been an European Union 70 years ago,
mm-hmm.
would there have been a World War II?
No. Well, it might have been between them and us.
No, but only got in there because of them.
No, what I'm saying is, they wouldn't have been within Europe. The Second World War might have been Europe against America. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you don't mean in the 1940s. You just mean
no, I do.
The next big one?
No, he just said, the next, not that war particularly, but World War II, meaning the next war after what
the
we
Great
now
war.
Call...
Yeah. The Great War.
So I'm just thinking.
But even would that have been though? I mean, would there have been sort of the economic pressures or the nationalism that leads to that kind of stuff?
Well, actually,
you know what I mean?
Probably not.
Well, we all learned in school that it was World War I that caused World War II, because the Treaty of Versailles was incredibly punitive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it screwed Germany into a place where they became desperate.
I suppose.
It created the whole environment where something like Hitler coming into power could happen.
Well, so take it back even farther then. I mean, had there been a union prior to World War I? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, yes, it can be a pain when everyone's the same, but at least you don't have those divisive differences that lead to killing and hate and war, potentially.
True.
Gotcha. You know what I mean? Like, if you spread the economic wealth of an entire region amongst its people, there's no need to hate someone else or kill someone else to take what you don't have.
True.
You know what I mean?
People aren't as feisty.
Right.
You know?
when they get their bread and beer,
right.
Yeah.
They're not right. as feisty. Yeah, that's a good point.
Although people tend to love to fight.
Yeah.
Well, and then if you look at countries that feel tension between each other within Europe, they're always countries that border each other. It's not like the Irish hate, you know, the people from Slovenia.
Right.
It's the Irish and the English, or, you know, or the French and the English, or it doesn't.
I'll tell you who hates each other. The friggin' Scandies. All the Scandinavian countries, man. They're like, you call someone from Denmark, Swedish, or vice versa, or whatever, you'll get a bootful.
Well,
they do not like it.
They don't like the Swedes. Like, that Sweden was so dominant.
Yeah.
That,
right.
You know.
Sweden's got is the master of Scandinavia, you got to admit.
They
are.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
No? Who's better?
What do you mean by better?
Well, I mean, just in general. Like, who's
more dominant?
Who's more powerful?
In history, yeah. They were the most aggressive.
Yeah. Because you got the Finns, Danes,
the Finns weren't
and
even
the Norwegians.
Finland used to be part of Sweden.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah, not till too long ago, really.
See, that's how pissed they were. They had to make their own country
to
get away from them.
Well, I know some Finnish people through the ex, and they actually would speak Swedish in the home. And then they would speak Finnish, you know, in
on
school
the streets.
And stuff. But they, you know, whatever it is, like whatever the political boundary was, that culturally they were more tied to Sweden. And then whenever the border came down, they fell on the Finnish side.
Right.
And you get that. That's kind of cool. Because like with the world wars, changing borders between countries, and you get like a whole region of France that's really culturally German.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that's
the Basque country in Spain. They don't want to be part of Spain.
European history is pretty fascinating.
It's amazing.
We could probably do 2 or 3 hours on that easy.
Right. Next time on Tales of Europe.
Yeah, it's probably incredibly boring to people who don't like history or foreign countries or whatever, but
I think, you know what is interesting to me? Sorry, go ahead.
I was going
to
break into an advert. Go ahead.
Okay. I found that, like, I hated history growing up and everything. Not hated it, but it was just like, ugh. And then, you know, in my 20s and early 30s and stuff, I started, you know, getting into the History Channel and watching World War II documentaries and things like that. And then you know, that sucks you into watching stuff about, you know, Victorian times and things like that. Mm. And
because of all the hotties. Mm,
yeah. All the hotties in the party. Shake your booty, yeah.
Sounds funny when you say it, but
yeah.
People aren't that different. I'm sure they were hotties in Victorian England.
Oh my, I'm feeling a bit of the vapors.
Ed would have made a wonderful Victorian hottie.
Yeah, absolutely. But
Colonel Angus.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what
nice.
I think of
nice. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I always loved Colonel Angus. Oh, but nice. Anyway, the history thing. Yeah, I mean, I just got fascinated with it. Now it's just so boundless. It's just a lot of. I mean, it's a lot of cool shit.
You know? History is awesome because it's the story of everything,
right?
You know what I mean? And stupid schools, they try to make everything as horribly boring as possible. I mean, it almost seems like it's their function to make learning a chore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It seemed that way. I'd like to see like a modern history class. Like a modern day history class. Like what's the style of it? Is it the same thing? Like now we're going to learn about the 1800s. And, you know, they just start at the beginning and hit on all the major things that happened in the 1800s. I think it's better to go region by region and describe what happened, you know, to that region over a larger period of time and how it mixed in with other things and how it affected this. Like, instead of a linear thing, kind of do it as a, like, amoebic thing where this affected that, that affected this. This is why this has happened, you know. Or why does this in France? Oh, it's because that happened. And
well, there used to be a whole different show on PBS about that. It was called Connections.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, I do remember
that.
And
it did exactly what you're saying.
Yep.
Things that on the surface seem incredibly unlikely actually have connections.
Like the kidnapping of some kid.
Exactly.
Lindbergh baby.
Nerd alert.
Yeah. For your convenience, the last 10 minutes of this Knobcast will be cut and published in a separate episode of the 10 Minutes Histories with Knobcast.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Next time. No, but anyway, that was a good one. I like that. We could talk about it forever, but
right,
it's probably boring. So
maybe we should think about winding up then.
Wind it up.
Because we're wind actually...
Up that, wind up that
the we're big a good bang 10 clock. Minutes over time.
Oh.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We actually
Knobcast going over time.
We actually kind of abused Knobcast last series. Sometimes we would do 2-hour episodes and sometimes 2 hours and a half episodes and
2.5?
Yeah.
No, there's no 2.5 one.
I remember that one.
I think that peaked with Sue when she guest hosted. It was just a lot of drunken rambling for a good 2.5 hours.
I'll have to go back and look. I don't think it was that
series
long.
Series 3, episode 5. Check it out.
2.5 hours.
At least.
That's way too much.
I know.
No, I mean, that's way too much of an estimate.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
All right. Well, I'll check it. Okay. Cut it.
Yeah, so let's wrap this up and say goodnight.
All right, we'd like to thank Miss Barbara for guest hosting this evening on episode 2.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. I'm finally, you're now very
you,
welcome.
Now you speak up okay. At 1 hour and 12 minutes.
Figuring out. Okay. Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another very special guest host.
Do you know who it is?
No idea.
All right.
But the information will be up. Well, we won't tell you who the guest host is. We'll leave that as a surprise.
Oh.
But we'll...
Even the guest host will be surprised.
Absolutely. Bag him and tag him. Bring him in. Throw him in the trunk. Get him in the studio.
Easy.
Well, I'm just saying. It's a surprise. They don't know.
Yeah, but these guest hosts are coming in voluntarily. We don't have to bag them or put them in the trunk. They're coming of their own free will.
Okay, good point.
Yeah.
As far as you know.
Well, how you get them here, I don't know. But...
It's for me to know, for you not to know. How's that?
That brings up a great topic idea I had.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Part 3?
Say you're dating this girl.
Oh, Jesus. Alien visitors?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Another time?
Another time.
All right.
All right, so we'll be back in 2 weeks. See you later. What?
I said I won't. Bye.
Right.
Will you listen, though?
I will listen.
All right.
Would you comment, please?
I will.
All right. Checks in the mail.
I always comment.
I know.
That's why you guest hosting.
Bingo.
I feel so special.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back in
Bye.
Sameh.